It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we luckily have Caitlin and Tony from Next Home Arctic Sun and our property managers of ours. So we're going to talk about landlord and tenant items, issues, and news.
Thanks, Lisa. Yes. And first, we'd like to start our shows off moving forward with some statistics. And we pulled some information from the borough. And ladies, you've already seen it, but it probably maybe comes as no surprise. The vacancy rates continue to go down. And let me ask you guys a question. How many vacancies do you guys have?
I only currently have one apartment, a two-bedroom apartment. That's it.
I have two.
So that puts, yeah, we manage, let's say, 200 doors. You know, it puts us at 1.5% vacancy rate. It's near zero. The borough has it at about 6. They get their stuff off Craigslist, I believe, manager websites. Mm-hmm. I think they call around to some people. So,
and they're a little bit behind, too.
Yeah.
By a couple months.
Yep, they certainly are. The quarterly report won't come out again until, I think, next month. So, yeah, so vacancy rates, no surprise, continue to go down. What are you guys seeing with the rents? I mean, they should have been creeping up the last couple of years. Are you seeing your owners, when they're renewing tenants, pushing the rents up a little bit? And I don't think they're huge amounts, but $50, $100?
Yeah, anywhere between $25 to $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not drastic.
Definitely been seeing that quite a bit.
So I think an average two-bedroom apartment was around $1,200, if I remember right, and the average three-bedroom home was... they have it around 1,500. Does that seem to be accurate?
Depending on the size and location and what's included, as in utilities.
Are we seeing rents being pushed up in the North Pole area just because the market is getting very tight and with the new add-ons at Eielson?
I mean, when people move out.
Yeah, I guess so.
But nobody's moving. Nobody's moving at the moment. Yeah. There's really nowhere to go.
So what are you finding? Tenants getting discouraged? Are you finding some tenants leaving? Are you finding tenants that are buying now because they're discouraged with the rental market?
Well, there's definitely I feel like there's a shortage of single family dwellings. So anything with three or four bedrooms, they're a little bit tough to come by right now. So people aren't wanting to give them up very easily to go try to, you know, find something different. And I have seen quite a few tenants wanting to convert over to buying or even buying the property that they're living in. It just, you know, single families are just a little bit harder to come by.
And I think that's nationwide, too. And some of the statistical shows I listen to show that investors are gobbling up single family homes right now. 1 out of 5 mm-hmm. purchases are single family homes for investors. So it's a big market. People are doing Airbnb, all sorts of crazy stuff. So
for sure.
Okay, good to know. So, yeah, so I thought it would be nice for us to go through the Alaska Landlord-Tenant Act, that the act is not just a piece of paper or a pamphlet. You know, it's based on state statutes. And the last update, you guys reminded me, was October 2018, and it's published by, I think, Department of Gov, mm-hmm. by the court system.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good guide for landlords and tenants to have, and I bet you guys get – tenants that come in and think they know what's going on. You get owners that think they know the laws, and it's a scary, scary thing. And you know, we've seen several different instances where landlords thought they knew what they were doing and they didn't, and they end up, going to court, or we have to correct them hopefully before they get to that point. You have tenants that think they know what's going on, and so it's really good to have knowledge of the Alaska Landlord-Tenant Act, have it at the tip of your fingers, be able to give it to your tenants and to your owners. Couple different things. So what are some of the big things that you guys have found through the Alaska Landlord-Tenant Act that you guys refer to constantly, whether it be tenants or homeowners?
Well, I think one thing is how long you have to return the security deposit. I mean, there's two separate timelines for that. You know, a tenant that moves out and doesn't have any damages to the property, everything's perfect, you know, we have the 14 days to return the security deposit. Now, if they're going to be charged for damages, we have up to 30 days to return to the
deposit. When did that change? Was that 2014? Was that?
I know it was a little bit of time back, but people still tend to get a little bit confused by that.
It was in 2018, actually.
Yeah.
They changed about six different major laws.
Yeah, because it wasn't it
it was fully straight up 2 weeks before this change that we had to have the bids
right.
in and everything.
Yeah,
it
everything
was, just
was
impossible
14.
To get.
Yeah, everything was 14 days, whether there was damages or no damages, and you know, trying to get the estimates and the final invoices together in that time frame was extremely difficult. Definitely stressful.
Well, even getting the work done,
yeah,
which you
that too.
Have to do.
So if you're if you're a tenant listening right now, that's good to plan for. Hey, I need to plan for 30 days. I'm not going to buy tickets to Disney World tomorrow. I got to wait 30 mm-hmm. days.
Or
to,
use
up
the
to
security deposit. A lot of tenants have in their mind the security deposit will just move with them to their next place and think they're immediately getting it.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that just sits in their mind.
And so what percent do you think of move-outs, when tenants move out, that you're keeping a portion of it to correct items that are, you know, correctable? I mean, you guys aren't out there trying to remodel the landlord's home, but you want to put it back where it was when they moved in.
They did in 2018, actually, they put in a more descriptive of what normal wear and tear was. Mm-hmm. That was a big gray area.
Sure.
So
seems ambiguous.
I mean, with that said, and just kind of stepping back just for a second, sure. One thing I do, which I think everybody should think about, is when they do put their 30-day notice in, I always ask them, do you think there's going to be anything wrong with the property? Just depending on when we did the last inspection from that point, or like during the inspection, when I'm going through and I'm like, okay, I just want to make sure you're noting this is gonna, you need to be fixed, or so on and so forth. And I try to get all that set up prior, you know, a week prior to us actually doing the move out mm-hmm. with them, and just so that, you know, it's boom, boom, boom. Because
nice.
When you have it re-rented in our market today, usually you want to get it, you know, up and going, and it's almost impossible to get it done within a week if you're not ready.
Good point.
And getting people in there fixing it or doing, you know, touch-ups or, you know, any updating that the owner wants.
And if I was running, that's what I would want. I'd want no surprises, and why mm-hmm. not, let's tackle this ahead of time. So
mm-hmm. Right.
No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, a nice checklist. If you get it a week ahead of time, they can get it taken care of, and then they can get their full security deposit back.
Yeah.
And get it back quicker because you're not
right.
trying to get
yeah,
bids.
Yeah, some will even be like, oh, okay, can you just send them over and we'll just get this done before I leave, and then I know it's done, and yeah.
So a landlord or owner's rental is usually their biggest investment, and it's nice that you guys put eyes on them. So you said you do inspections. Again, it's nice to not be surprised. You go through and do an inspection and be able to tell the tenant, hey, this was not like this before, so y'all gotta fix this. So how often do you guys do property inspections?
2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah. Nice.
Definitely before we do renewals, I do. And then I'm also just discussing it with the tenant at that time of noticing it and being upfront with that. But also just a heads up too, you're going to want to do a lot of pictures, move-in pictures and such. You can't just say, nope, you broke that, and they're like, and it's your word against theirs.
Yeah. Gotta have proof.
Yeah, I think yes. I did a move in for you, or was a move out. Either way, I took, God, if I saw anything that looked irregular, a small dent, a small scratch, anything, I took probably 300 pictures, and I think I took like 15 videos maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably something similar to what you guys do when you guys move somebody and move somebody out. It's just such a good idea to have documentation and proof of what it used to look like, and it just... it removes that subjectivity and the...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Caitlin and Tony have probably the largest iCloud storage possible allowable for all their pictures and videos. But it is good for everyone because that, you know, you can forget what things look like and you can claim that, oh, no, it was perfect when I moved in.
Well, another thing,
here's
too,
the pictures.
I definitely suggest is, you know, if you're doing, or if you're doing a property and you're... going to rent it out, even as an owner yourself, take pictures of your move out. And because they also forget what their home looked like. I've been running some homes for 11 years.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they'll think it was one color, and then they'll come back to town
exactly.
and be totally, well, that's not the color it was. And then you can bring up the pictures. Yep, this is the color it was.
So speaking of moving in, next part of the Alaska Lawyer and Tenant Act talks about moving in. So it says get rid of agreement. That's kind of a no-brainer. And there's basic stuff that you want to have in there. But what else has jumps out at you guys as items that you want to make sure? Or what do you guys include in your lease that, hey, I've seen a lot of leases not have this, but, you know, you guys have gone through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears building addendums and building amendments to our lease. So is there any additions that kind of stick out to you that, hey, y'all want to have this in your lease?
Oh, wow.
We have like a roommate lease addendum, pet addendum, marijuana addendum, smoke-free property addendum.
Is there a hot tub or a
mold prevention addendum, hot tub addendum, wood, you know, pellet stove, wood stove burning addendum. I mean, we have so many.
There's a guest addendum.
Yep. Tenant guest policy, you know, so people aren't staying, you know, at the property longer than they should be. And
But I think a lot of people roll their eyes. You guys probably roll your eyes. Owners and buyers or tenants probably roll their eyes. But man, it's such a good idea. It's kept us out of court. It's kept our owners out of court.
Pretty much, if it's not in writing, you may as well bag it. I mean, it's not going to hold up in court.
And that's a really important point, because a lease is bound by paper and is written. Mm-hmm. You can't make verbal changes to anything. Once you start a lease in paper form, everything needs to be in paper form. There can't be just a phone call saying, hey, my girlfriend's moving in with me. No, there's actually a process for that. Something needs to be filled out. And you can't
We have a roommate addendum. And just for that, and surprisingly enough, even if you're a boyfriend or girlfriend, I still make them do a roommate addendum. Just because you never know.
Yeah, things can happen. It might not always be boyfriend and girlfriend, and then a lot of finger pointing can happen.
Right. And it's nice to have these additional addendums, because people, you know, we don't want any gray areas. We want to try to avoid those. And, you know, some people will be like, wow, that seems really excessive with the amount of pages and the addendums and then the addendums that you've made. I'm like, look, we've ran into almost all of it, and we want to cover every base that we possibly can, so that there isn't going to be a ton of gray areas if, you know, something does come up.
Yeah, for sure. We've been doing this since 2009.
Yeah. It's not just to cover the owners, you know, cover us. It's to cover everybody involved, tenants, owners, property manager.
Yeah, it's
all
to,
of it.
Yeah, it's to be everyone's benefit. So everyone's on the same page. There's no ambiguity, and everyone can move forward and feel like they're treated honestly on all sides.
Yeah.
A couple other items they have in here to make sure it's in your lease: a list of landlord and tenant repair and maintenance duties, and who pays for them. So who does pay for that? Who keeps the house up? What?
Well, anything over and rent that's over $2,000, you can have the tenant actually pay for some repairs and maintenance. But under that, majority of the time, the owner is paying, you know, to upkeep the boiler. And, you know, if there's anything that, you know, the faucet, fix that. Or little things happen all day, every day. I mean, once you use something multiple times.
And it's all laid out in the lease too, like who's responsible for the repairs, who's responsible for snow removal, who's responsible for the landscaping. If the tenant has a water softener and they live in a single family dwelling, if they're going to be responsible to upkeep that salt, change filters. I mean, all of that's laid out in our leases.
I think we even talk about light bulb removal and changes, because that
and has changing batteries and CO2 and smoke alarms and thermostats, that's also in there as well.
So if I'm a tenant listening, what stuff should I look out for when I'm jumping ahead to move out, but I'm thinking of maintenance and repairs. What kind of stuff should I make sure that, you know, do I need to make sure the light bulbs are all on? Is there stuff that I need to make sure that I have ready when I move out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Carpets? What else do I need to do?
Definitely, you know, getting the unit cleaned up. That's a big one, of course. You know, making sure all the light bulbs are working. You know, your smoke alarm batteries, if you happen to take one out because it was chirping at you and you forgot to put it back in, make sure those are all working. Now, carpets, they have to have been professionally cleaned immediately before the move in order for it to be a tenant responsibility at move out, unless they are like excessively soiled and you have proof to back that up. Like they moved in and the carpets were clean, they moved out and it was excessively soiled. But biggest rule of thumb is if it was done immediately before move in, tenant will be responsible for it at move out regardless.
So Tony, you mentioned wear and tear, normal wear and tear. So I'm sure carpets is a biggie. How is it handled now? So I've had a tenant in there for 10 years. You know, carpet's going to depreciate, so you can't stick the tenant with...
Right. So, for instance, here's a good for instance. Let's say the owner put a brand new carpet in, and then it's 2 years later, a tenant moves in, and then they move out maybe 2 years after that. So you have to depreciate the carpet. So if they went and never took their shoes off... or the pet damaged it, scratched it, whatever, you can replace that carpet and charge them for a percentage of the carpet.
Okay.
of the replacement.
That's good for everyone to know. We're going to take a quick break and be right back, but we'll be discussing more of the rental world when we return.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then the Trax Outdoor Show with Mike Hajdukovic, sponsored by Trax Outdoor Center at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food in Fairbanks. All shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, streaming live at KFARradio.com, the heartbeat of Alaska. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we were discussing rentals and what the landlord and tenants need to know and some helpful facts. And on the break, we were actually talking about how many phone calls Tony and Caitlin get of people just wanting to know what the rules are on the landlord side and what the rules are on the tenant side. Because, to be honest, the Landlord and Tenant Act is not – it's 41 pages. It's not light reading. And I actually refer to them sometimes as a help desk because some people just don't know where to go. And so today we're just discussing some of the things we've run into that people have questions about. And when we left, we were talking about the move-in, move-out process and what to expect and things to watch out for and what you can and cannot be charged with.
So what kind of questions do you guys get? Do you guys have owners and tenants calling you? Is this legal? Can somebody be doing this?
So, you know, kind of piggybacking off talking about photos during move-ins that we take, you know, I have friends and acquaintances that they'll tell me that they've moved into a place, you know, they're renting not through our company, but they're just given the keys and they just go to the property. There's no, you know, move-in checklist or photos taken. So I always advise them. I'm like, you need to, if they're not, you know, if you're, whoever you're renting through is not going to do that, you need to cover your own basis and you need to take photos, take a ton of photos, get a piece of paper and just start jotting different things down that you see, you know, dip your fuel tank if you have a single family and you're responsible for that fuel. And, you know, it's not in your lease that you have to top it off at move out.
So it's like renting a car because they throw you the keys and I walk around the car now because they don't walk you around the car anymore.
Nope.
And I'll take pictures of any scratches, dents, chips in the window, anything.
Yep.
That's
so funny. When I rent a car too, I actually take 45 pictures.
I do the same thing.
In a normal home, in an apartment, I mean, I'm sure Caitlin does also, but I mean, I'll take anywhere, just let's say a 700 square foot, two bedroom, one bath. I mean, you're at 235 pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in a large home, I'm, you know, upwards of 800.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been with Tony when she's doing a move out and she's doing pictures. And my first time, we were there for a good 45 minutes, making sure that everything was documented and everyone was on the page. And both Tony and Caitlin did a nice thing where they match up the pictures from the original move-in and the move-out, so you have before and after, basically. Mm-hmm. And it makes it really nice if there are any questions or something has to be addressed, that they have the same angles and the same pictures. It just makes the world a lot easier.
Do you guys get pictures of stuff like, I don't know, snowplow, snowblower, lawnmower?
If there's anything to inventory, yes, I do. And another thing that I also recommend doing if you're going to rent out, and especially if you're, you know, between vacancies and such, get a picture of the serial numbers. It's easier for your appliances, anything that you're going to leave behind, serial numbers, especially Toyo stoves. And I do like the water softener and mm-hmm. water heater, just in case any maintenance items, then I'm sending that to the maintenance guy saying, hey, this is the make and model, this is what's happening. It just makes the world go easier when you want to go out there and fix it.
Do landlords ever have rules above and beyond the what's in the lease? You know, like we've rented before a week-long place and they have to post their rules of this is the house rules. Do tenants, is that a thing?
Well, I've had, nicely enough, sellers will make a little list of saying this is how to maintenance or keep up with this, or you should use this type of salt, or, you know, it's kind of like a
helpful
a little,
hints.
It's just yeah, it's a
specific to their property.
Introduction to their property, which is, I love.
I do too. I love it. And then just conclude it with the lease, have the tenants review and initial it.
It's in the state statute, so that's why I bring it up.
I also go over with the tenants, too, I mean, that aren't familiar, you know, with everything that we have, just so that they kind of are aware. Like, a lot of people don't know about salt and,
and
how to change the filter.
Even reset a boiler just in case. Or
dip in the fuel tank. Check in your
look
water
tank.
Well, I'm a prime example. I came from an area that was all natural gas. I have never lived in anywhere where oil was delivered, nor have reset a boiler. I can now drain, I can bleed lines and everything, which is a little sad to say, but
true Alaskan.
But I mean, we do have an influx of out-of-staters moving here, and this is a whole new world to them. Some of them never lived on a well. Some of them never had oil delivered. Someone, like, we've explained the concept of oil delivery to people because they think that you just, order it like a pizza and it's going to be there in 30 minutes. That's not how it works up here. And it's a learning curve for new tenants that are from outside to learn everything about a house and about an area and about keeping cars plugged in for 24 hours a day and not realizing that's going to make your power bill skyrocket. And
well, another thing, too, is I always recommend and what we do is make sure that because our utilities are much higher than most. So I always make them look over an initial what the average utility was for the last past 2 years of whether, even though it may have been, of course, either the owner themselves or it may have been another, you know, tenant. I just kind of give them an idea, like this was a family of four. You know what I mean? You're going to be a family of two. You may be less, you may be more. It just depends on what you're doing.
But. And that probably really comes into play if you're hauling water and to give them an idea because a lot of people won't figure that into their monthly budget. It just because it doesn't run into their mind that you got to plan ahead for that.
Well, I just want to make sure that people, I mean, I want them to live in the home, but I don't want them to live in the home because they cannot go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So how, what do you guys use to screen tenants? Every tenant that walks through the door, you have to do a due diligence for the owner. So you can't just, so he walks in the door, you give him the keys, and you move on. I mean, do you guys do a credit check? Do you guys, when you guys take an application, do you do a background check? What do you guys look for?
Well, when somebody applies with our office, they do an online application. We do a background check, credit check, eviction history check. We verify employment with your most recent pay stub and a photo ID. We also do rental reference checks. So it's a pretty good, you know, application process as far as.
Do court view.
Okay, I was going to say, does it just do Fairbanks, Alaska? Does it go to the lower 48? Does it go to Europe? Is Interpol involved? Actually, I think it is.
They actually do check of their last state.
Okay.
Through CourtView.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that you found in other rental agreements that kind of jump out at you? Like, you're not supposed to have that in your rental agreement, so.
That would, a lot of it is a deposit versus pet deposit versus pet fee. That is a giant
good one.
Yeah.
So what are the rules there?
And well, when you state a pet fee, pet fees are non-refundable, which has to be, of course, noted.
It's like there. The dog's rent.
Right. Exactly. And a pet deposit is a refundable.
If there happens to be damage done by the animal, and you guys actually have to show if it is a pet deposit that it was done by an animal and not by the human, correct?
And, right. And then that's true. And you actually have to kind of prove it.
Yeah.
And it's so tough because we're in Alaska. Everybody has animals and dogs. And the military, they have animals and dogs. And we have dogs, and they destroy our house. We have to get new floors. They've destroyed them. Our doors are destroyed because of them. Our molding is destroyed.
They're not that bad.
Well, okay. I'll bring video next time. It's just you got to live. I mean, just know that if you're going to have a dog, they're gonna be tough on a house. And obviously, cats can be too, and other animals.
Well, and it does specifically say that in the Alaska Landlord-Tenant Act that anybody that has children or pets. They're going to do more normal wear and tear than just,
And the judges will adjust for that. They will acknowledge there's a big deal difference between a single individual living in a home and a family with three mm-hmm. little kids.
Right.
And it's just, and they can be the best parents and the best kids in the world, but it's kids are kids. And that's to be expected. I mean, they can't live in a bubble.
They will
touch things.
Have you guys ever had a tenant complain that their, I guess we'll call it enjoyment of the property has been disturbed? So would it be a neighbor, somebody parking weird, a duplex, somebody's too loud on the side? I've got to think these things come up.
Oh, yeah, they do. Definitely with our apartments, duplexes, triplexes, multi-unit, we've got complaints of, other people, visitors that are coming, parking in their parking spot or plugging in and using their outlet, or, we've got a downstairs unit and an upstairs unit, and the person upstairs is too loud past a certain amount, certain time at night. So we definitely get those, and you try to mitigate them as much as you can to try to make sure that everybody's happy.
Right, or their visitors coming, and the neighbors, and their music is really loud.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a nice thing both of you do, and I know especially for the single family homes, is when you take over a property, you actually introduce yourself to the neighbors around your property that you guys are managing it. If they see something that they're concerned about, they can reach out to you.
Yeah.
And, or if they are worried about something, like let's say that someone went out of town and they're like, something happens weather-wise, they can call you, hey, garage door is not closed all the way, and now it's dropping temperature. But I think that's really an important thing that you guys make yourself known to the people around your units.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely introducing ourselves that way. Like you said, if there's any issues that they notice or they have any concerns, they can reach out to us. Try to avoid any face-to-face conflict with tenants and neighbors, if we need to get in there and try to mitigate as much as possible,
We try to make everyone as happy as possible on both sides of the thing. We are out of time for today, but we didn't finish up with all that we want to discuss, so next week we'll continue on with the Landlord-Tenant Act and tenant issues. Thanks for joining us, and next up is The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.